Romans chapter 3. Verse 20, that's where we stopped. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Knowledge there is the epignosis, which means that it's mixed with. You're not just knowing, you don't know it intellectually, you know it with everything in you. Now, the only function of the law, the only purpose of the law, is that all the world would become guilty. There is no other purpose of the law. And until this penetrates you, then you will always try to be right about something. The purpose of the law is to cause you and I and all men to become guilty before God. Until that happens, you just play this stupid game. What? You're doing it again.
I'm doing it right now, too. Damn. I was thinking about this in terms of we're guilty before God, but it's played out before men. And Tom and I were talking about apologizing to your wives this morning. And it's like we don't want to apologize or humble ourselves before a brother because we don't see them as, you know, we don't see Christ in them or whatever. So this idea of apologizing or humbling yourself or recognizing you're wrong and saying it is such a big deal. We want to stay right.
The exclusive function of the law, its purpose, is to shut up your mouth. And so what do? Again, this whole thing about we narrow the boundaries so that we can be right in a frame of reference that we have established. And I can't tell you how important that is, and I'm not sure I've ever been able to describe it, but whether it's in, you know, cosmology or astrophysics or in your day-to-day relationships and thinking, and your automatic tendency is to narrow the boundaries so that you can be right in this limited region or limited area. And that is, you got to be right about something.
I just for the first time saw how that is what's going on in judgment. You ignore everything else and zero in on somebody or something and say it's wrong, and I'm therefore better than that because I can pronounce it wrong and forget everything to the left and right.
That's right. That's what I've been saying for years and years and years and years, because the whole point of it is that you have to, as long as you're condemning yourself internally, in order for you to exist, you have to be able to judge someone else down. Internally, you know that you know that you don't. That's why we talked about the midnight hour. You know that the crap that's going on inside you is so odious that in order for you to survive, you have to be able to judge others down. And you do it by this thing that Harry just described, by narrowing the boundaries or narrowing the time so that there's a moment so that you can say, I am right. And the moment you do that, you step off the mercy seat and onto the judgment seat. And then what happens? And then you become an enemy of the Holy Spirit if you're on the judgment seat. And so he pushes the circumstances of your life so you go back down to the pit. And you learn. You do it over and over and over and over. You do the same thing with your sweet ideas. And you are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you say it's not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you were not grieved. And it goes on and on and on and on. And you walk in the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And you wonder, you start needing entitlement. I'll tell you one damn thing. And all of them are the symptomology of this need to be right about something. I told you before, but when I first became a believer, I thought, you know, and my mother had the rest home, and I thought of all the people that should know and should be able to understand that all is empty and vain and futile, but it has to be these people who were elderly, who were in their 80s, 90s, something, and they had to have been able to see the emptiness and futility of all their efforts. No, it's worse, because you dig in,
that phenomenon of judging someone else, you condemn your own self and act.
Well, the reason you judge others is because you are condemning yourself. You have already condemned yourself. That's the reason you judge.
Yeah, I was thinking before God, I mean, the act of it is God's judgment is on you the minute you do it to someone else.
Well, I know, but the reason you do it is because you can't accept you. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's obvious. Anyone with any intellectual integrity has to see this. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, the problem here, again, it's these three little words. In this one, it's the, if you look in almost, I think every other translation that I've ever seen in this scripture, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So therefore, if I have faith in Christ, no, that's not what it says. I must live by the faith of Christ. The only way I can do that is by my own abandonment. There can be no reference to me any longer. Right? What?
I woke up this morning. I was laying in bed, half dreaming, half thinking, half awake, half aware. And I was thinking about you and the fact that you're sick. And I was wondering how sick you are, and was John going to take you to the doctor? And then I realized what I really cared about was how it affected me. And I was chagrined.
The law serves its purpose when it makes you low. That's it. That's the purpose of it. To make men low, to make men empty. Not to punish or anything else. It's not. It, have you ever watched it among within yourself and among ourselves, how that it's an automatic process to use the law to lift you up, so that there's something. If you're in an argument with your wife, and you can find some little deal that you can, some little scripture that you can repeat to her, then you can instantly be right.
It works in my household real good.
Yeah, I know. And it is
yeah,
so.
We can see how well it works.
It is so insidious, and then we do it. All the time internally, we use the law to lift up. But the problem is we use just a half scripture or a mantra that we've learned to let us rise above, so we can give somebody some advice. That's what I love.
Besides, so we have God in our corner.
What? You understand that?
Yeah.
All right. The law gives us, it says, do this and live. But there's no way. It doesn't give a way to do it. It's like telling a pig to fly. That's a very, very, very good analogy. But the law bids you to fly, but gives you the wings. I mean, the gospel, because the gospel itself is the wings. But it can't have a reference to you. And every time that pig shows up, it falls back to the ground and into the pit. Anybody understand a little bit? All right. Verse 20, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you've heard this if you've been in the religious world very long. This is one of the most oft-quoted scriptures. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's used only as an instrument of conversion to try to convince you you're a sinner. But it stops being true when you're converted. If you've ever been in the modern Christianity, this is constant. But it's like all have sinned and will keep on sinning. That's why your death, to talk about, without faith it's impossible to please God, and to talk about faith without your death is impossible. All right? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, I'm going to have to quit. I'm going to start coughing in a minute, and I'll go ballistic here. So we'll make this a very short Bible study. Anybody have any other response? Can you stop being right, Mary?
Well, I don't know.
Can you see why it says to exhort one another daily while it is still called today? Exhort him to what? Exhort him to lowness. because there he is. Amen. We will continue, if God wills, tomorrow. What's your status, Mr. Mike? I'm sure everybody else knows, but I don't. When you got